The first reading today, St. Paul reminds us of something that's exceedingly important for us to keep in mind, and that is that our battle, our wrestling, is not against flesh and blood, but rather, he said, it is against the principalities and powers and the world rulers of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. This is especially important to remember as we are in the midst of this political mess, but also as we even look at what's going on in the church. It's so easy to get frustrated. It's so easy to be able to look at the people who are way off track and doing utterly foolish things, some things that are just plain despicable. And yet at the same time, we have to remember that it's a spiritual battle, not a physical one. So yes, while we have to be able to acknowledge what these people are doing is wrong, what they're saying is completely wrong, we need to make sure that we're keeping our own frustrations and such in check, because it's not going to help anything. It's only going to make it worse. We've already got a bad situation, and now we've got somebody who's angry, and we have the bad situation. A whole lot better if we have a bad situation and you can still remain at peace. And that's the way we have to do that, to be able to remember that somehow or another that these people have opened themselves up for the devil to be at work, and he's able to use them. So we have to be able to respond in a truly Christian way, which is spiritually. And so we need to do exactly what St. Paul told us to do. He told us if we're going to be able to withstand what's coming, and I don't think it takes too much of a genius to be able to see the path that we're on here, and it's going pretty fast right now. He said, you need to put on the armor of God if you're going to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And what's that armor? He says, well, truth, justice, readiness of the gospel of peace, faith, and the fire, and all, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, he said, which is the word of God. In other words, we have to have a spiritual life if we're going to be able to withstand what the devil is doing. And so every one of us needs to really look seriously at that question and ask, how's my spiritual life doing? It's not enough just to have all of these things, because otherwise we're going to be like David when he said he would go out against the Philistine, and Saul put all of his armor on David. Well, David was just a kid. He hadn't ever used armor before, and he couldn't walk, and he couldn't move. So we can have all this stuff all over us, but if we aren't practicing it, what good is it going to do us? We actually have to put it into practice in order for it to do what it's supposed to do. So how do we do that? One thing, as we see in the gospel reading today, has to do with forgiveness. We seem to have kind of forgotten about that in our day. We seem to think that we're justified in not forgiving, we're justified in being angry, we're justified in being vengeful, because look at what these people are doing. Yeah, what they're doing is horrible. That doesn't mean that it's okay for me to be able to fight fire with fire. That's not the Christian way. We have to be able to forgive. And Jesus made it clear. He said, unless you forgive your brothers from the heart, not just with words, those are pretty cheap. Oh yeah, I forgave them. Like, right, and then when somebody mentions their name, what happens? Yeah, we forgave them, didn't we? I hate that person. Yeah, clearly we haven't. And so you can think about that and just ask yourself, when this person's name comes up, how do I respond? What's my initial reaction? Yeah, there may still be some unforgiveness that's there. So we need to keep working at it and get all that gunk out of there, because it needs to be, as our Lord said, from the heart. But it's a matter of truly living our faith. That's what this is all about. It's a matter of putting everything into practice and bringing our faith out into the world. We've got what we need. The world doesn't. You have all the things that St. Paul talked about already. You've got the faith, you have the truth, you have righteousness, you have the peace, you have all the things. And these are all the things the world needs and doesn't have. And so you can ask yourself again, when I go out into the world, do they see something that's peaceful, righteous, good, holy? Or do they not see that at all? St. Paul talks about the fact that we are fighting against the world rulers of this darkness. I don't know if it's ever been quite this dark. It's dark and it's cold. People have no hope. But you and I should. We have the light. If we have charity, we can bring something to be able to counter all of these things. We can't just go out there with the truth and beat people over the head with it. That's only going to push them away. It's going to cause them to feel justified and more self-righteous in their foolishness. So we need to bring the truth with charity. We need to have that forgiveness. We need, and the Lord makes it clear that this is pretty extreme. And thank goodness he did that, because that's the situation we're living in right now. It's pretty extreme. Look at the example that he uses. Somebody owed 10,000 talents. 6,000 denarii is one talent. A denarius was a daily wage. So this one guy owed 100 denarii, 100 days' wages. Yeah, so a third of his annual income is what he owed to this guy. So this wasn't a small amount. But the other one owed 10,000 talents. That is 60 million days' wages. Or put it into an annual, 65,000 years of working every day to be able to pay this guy back. And what did he say? Oh, just be patient with me. I'll give it all back. Like, really? Patient for 65,000 years? The Lord is making clear the absurdity of this. This is so extreme, there is no way that this could be done. That's exactly what he's trying to show us. Think of our sins. Look at what we have done to God. It is extreme. And God has forgiven us. And therefore, he's saying, if this is how I treated you, this is how you need to treat others. Are we doing that? And I know there are extreme situations in your life. This person did this really horrible thing, whatever it is. The Lord didn't say, if somebody does something really extreme to you, it's okay for you to not forgive them. He's using an absurd extremity to be able to show us what we have to be willing to do. If we are going to be his followers, we need to do what he does. He forgives. And when God forgives, it's with his whole being, which means it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. He destroys it. So if we keep trying to hang on to things, then we're not being godlike. Now, if that's the case with regard to forgiveness, what would our Lord say with regard to all these other things? What would he say with regard to our charity? Let it trickle out a little bit? No, that's not what he said. He said, your light must shine so brightly. Not a little bit. Not putting underneath a bushel basket. It needs to shine where everybody can see it. Our righteousness, which is holiness, must be extreme. Everything that he's talking about here, we have to be able to put this fully into practice. So we have all the tools that we need. Everything is there. But are we actually availing ourselves of them? That's the question we've got to really look seriously at. Because as this continues along, it's going to get really, really bad. And unless we have everything in place to be able to stand on the day of evil, we're going to collapse. So the Lord has given us everything, and we just kind of take it for granted. All you have to do is look straight ahead and see the crucifix up there and go, yeah, Jesus died for my sins. That's nice. We do that, and you see how much we take it for granted. The fact that God came down, took our humanity to himself, and went to the cross so that our sins could be forgiven out of pure charity. Talk about extreme. That's what our Lord did. And we kind of go, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jesus did that. That was nice. It's time that we start really looking a little more seriously at these things so that we can put them into practice. It's easy for us to keep all of this at an arm's distance. It's easy for us to give it lip service, but we're not really living it. And that's the challenge that is being put before us. And in case you think this really isn't all that big a deal, just look what's gone on in the last week over in Rome. We had a cardinal that came out and said, oh, we need a new way of being church. What a bunch of hogwash. In other words, for 2,000 years, we've been wrong. What Jesus did was wrong. We need to come up with a new way. Yeah, there isn't another way. Jesus is the way. And then we had one of these study groups that gave a presentation to this synod on synodality over there. And they said, we need a new paradigm for morality. Once again, what that means is everything we've had for 2,000 years has been wrong. We need a new one. It's the 21st century, after all. We need something new. So what's he saying? We need to get rid of all of these objective standards of morality. And we need to base morality on the lived experience of the people. Isn't that nice? In other words, it's going to be absolute relativism. You can have your morality and I can have mine. If this is what you like to do, well, go for it because you like it. I don't like it, so I won't do that, but you can. The nice thing is that means that there are no sins because there's nothing you can sin against. It's whatever you like. It's your experience. It's whatever you want to do. How convenient is that? We don't have to forgive anybody because nobody can sin anymore. So there wouldn't be any need for confession because you can't sin. I mean, this is really slick, isn't it? What a bunch of trash. It goes against everything that Scripture teaches. It goes against everything that Jesus taught. It goes against everything the church has taught for 2,000 years. But this is what they're about to foist upon you. Now, granted, the work of this study group is going to go on until next June, so this isn't going to happen just in the next month. But that's why if we don't have our prayer in place now, please get it there. Get your prayer life in order so that when this stuff comes, you have what you need to be able to withstand it. Because the vast majority are going to go with it. All you have to do is look. There's a little saying in the church, lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of praying is the law of believing. The way we pray is the way we believe. These guys are going to try and flip it. They're going to say, lex credendi, lex orandi. The way we believe is now the way we pray. So we're going to change the way we believe first. Then we're going to change the way we pray. So they're going to come out with a liturgy that is invalid. And the vast majority will go with it because already, if you just look at all the polls, more than 75% of people who call themselves Catholics say they don't believe in the real presence of Jesus. In other words, bread and wine doesn't change into Jesus. It's just bread and wine. So if they come out with an invalid Mass, these people already don't believe in the Mass. So they don't care if it's just bread and wine, because that's all they think it is anyway. And then you tell them it's okay to do all of these things that they've wanted to do anyway. They're not going to stay with the truth. They've already rejected it. So how are you and I going to stay with the truth? How are we going to maintain the righteousness? How are we going to be able to do all of these things that we're being asked to do? Only if our prayer is in order. And by that, I don't mean say a couple of prayers. Oh, do the morning offering. That'll cover your whole day. Huh. That'll cover about 30 seconds of your morning. We need to be deep in prayer. Absolutely essential is what is called mental prayer, the contemplative kind of prayer, the interior, quiet, silent prayer. That's the one that's going to change your life. That's the one that's going to make the greatest difference. Because if you've got that, then what happens at Mass is going to completely change inside of you. All the other things, how you pray your rosary, how you do it, everything is going to change. It's going to deepen. It's going to be more profound. The insights, everything is there. So all of these things that St. Paul is talking about, the forgiveness, all the things Jesus is talking about, it's only going to be possible if we have our prayer life in order. So if it's not there yet, please get it there. If you can get to an adoration chapel, so much the better. If you can't, have a place in your home specifically set aside for prayer. That's the only thing you do in that spot is to pray. And then aim for a half an hour a day of the silent prayer. A minimum of a half an hour a day. You still need to pray your rosary. You still need to do all the other things. Just get to Mass and receive the sacraments. Keep yourself in the state of grace. All the things that we need to be doing. But make sure that mental prayer is there. That is what is going to keep you steady and firm when the evil arrives, as if it hasn't yet, but when it gets really, really evil, that's what we need to have in place. So set a time, because if you don't have a time in our humanness, what we will do is say, I'll do it later. And then when later comes, we'll say, I'll do it later. And then when that comes, we'll say, I'll do it later. Pretty soon you're gonna be in bed saying, I'll do it tomorrow, and tomorrow you'll say, I'll do it later. So you need to set a specific time for prayer. Or I will always say to people, or couple it with an event. Maybe your schedule isn't the same every day. So maybe you can say, as soon as I do the dishes, something you know you're going to do, as soon as I brush my teeth, that's when I'm going to pray. Whatever it is. So either set a specific time or have it coupled with a specific event so that you know that you are making this the priority. It's not fun. It's not loads of consolation. Sometimes there will be that. Sometimes it's very dry and very difficult. That's the Lord purifying us and strengthening us. So don't walk away and don't give up. And don't just think you're doing something wrong if there isn't something exciting happening. Just continue to keep that as the priority. And let the Lord work with you so that all of these things that you are girded with, that St. Paul is talking about, you'll now be able to actually know how to work with it, to put it all into practice, so that you can go out into the world, you can bring the hope, you can bring the charity, you can bring the goodness that the world needs. And more importantly, you can do for others what Jesus has done for you.